Chapter 14. Sirius. Lingering Shadows. Sirius had plenty of candidates for his worst moment. That's what came of losing so much. With spending 6 years in Azkaban, and hearing the screams of those who weren't lucky enough to be able to disappear into themselves the way he could. But this would haunt his nightmares for the rest of his life. He watched the children soaring far higher than they should be able to. They were playing, and Harry reminded him so much of James. The boy was a natural on a broom, just like his father, soaring and falling and laughing all the while. Sirius lay back on the snowy grass and watched them, transforming back to a man when it was necessary, and grabbing his wand so that if anything were to happen, he'd be ready. Children fell, and he would not let either of these boys be injured on his watch. He recalled how James had stolen a snitch from one of the Quidditch kits. Sirius smiled despite himself, allowing himself to remember moments he normally hid away from. The happy afternoons he spent in this very place with James and the others. At least for one day, the boys got a chance to experience that. And then it went wrong. Harry had screamed, and Sirius knew it was the same as the time in the forest. Harry had those episodes fairly regularly, but he dealt with all of them. Only once had that caused the Death Eaters to find them. But this was different, still dangerous. The place was warded, but Harry could still slip off his broom. Sirius started to try and aim a cushioning charm at him. "Come down here, boys!" he shouted it, as loudly as he could. "Jump! I can catch you!" The wind whipped his voice away before it reached them. Draco seemed to be trying to get to Harry, reaching for him, and Sirius hoped they'd fall together. If they did, he'd be able to slow their descent. They'd gone too high, and he knew if they fell and he couldn't catch them, they'd be looking at broken bones. He'd have to spend another night waiting frantically outside the hospital wing, the way he had so often for Remus. He just needed them to get down. "Boys, hold each other and jump!" They were so high, their brooms so small at this distance. He managed to get both brooms with a spell, starting to lower them down towards the ground, not rushing the movement, just easing them down. And then a figure had appeared in the air. A figure that should have been impossible. Floating there without the broom. The impossible shape of Lord Voldemort drew its wand, and Sirius knew he was about to watch Draco die and Harry get taken. There was nothing he could do, no help available, and even when he'd heard that Lily and James and Harry were dead, he hadn't felt this powerless. Harry turned. Harry turned and screamed and drove his broom forwards, and the figure was ripped apart like a ragdoll, plummeting to earth, Voldemort's wand landing in the grass at Sirius's feet. Voldemort's body disappeared before it hit the ground, and Sirius gazed up at them. Somehow, the two of them were still there. Somehow they'd survive, and he knew it fell on him to get them down, to make sure they were okay. He knew what he'd seen. Voldemort had been destroyed. He used his own wand to carefully direct the boys to a safe height. Draco was trembling, but as soon as his feet touched the ground, he was rushing to Harry, pulling him from his broom and pressing his hand to Harry's forehead as though checking for a temperature. Harry in turn hissed and curled around Draco, pressing his hand to Draco's mark through the fabric of Draco's robes.
"Mine! My Draco! No hurt, Draco's safe!"
"Harry is safe too," Draco whispered, and he was trembling, but he looked up at Sirius with curiosity in his gaze. Is it over?"
"Maybe,"
Sirius whispered. He didn't understand any of it. Harry had destroyed Voldemort. But Voldemort should never have been here. The pitch was within the safety of Hogwarts grounds. That was why they'd been able to bring the boys here. He tried to apparate just to the other end of the pitch, and it worked. He jogged back to the boys, taking their hands and aiming to apparate to the castle. It didn't work. He had no more chance of reaching the castle than a mother would have in the same position. He frowned.
"We've got to go," Draco said quietly, looking over at Harry.
Harry looked confused and had picked up Voldemort's wand.
"Give that here, Harry,"
Sirius insisted, reaching for the wand. He left the brooms on the ground of the Quidditch pitch because they weren't the priority at that moment. What mattered was getting to safety, making sure the children were okay. And even if Sirius hated Creature, he was able to order the house elf to fetch things from the Black Family Vault, so they could buy new brooms. The boys' safety would always come first.
He hurried the boys with him towards the castle. That at least was still under a barrier, even if the Death Eaters had somehow breached an outer layer. They'd be able to work out what had happened once they were somewhere safer. He knew the Order were meeting in the Great Hall. Draco gazed around and wondered as they approached the castle, and Sirius wished they had time to let him explore. But he needed to get to the others as fast as possible. Because it was over, and things would be different. The boys would start school together in September next year. They'd have as normal life as possible. Draco would get all the time he needed to look around then.
Come on.
He pushed open the wooden doors with his wand, getting a good way down the hall when Draco froze, staring at the group around the staff table in horror and shaking his head. Sirius looked. The group from last time were there, as were Dromi and her husband, Professor McGonagall and Mundungus Fletcher.
Draco?
Sirius asked, because the boy looked terrified again, and they didn't have time for this. An absent thought crossed his mind that Molly would be mad that Draco always seemed terrified whenever she saw him.
No. No.
Draco whispered, his breathing speeding up.
What's wrong?
Why is Aunt Bella here?
Draco whispered. Sirius looked up and almost laughed.
That's Dromi, Draco. She's nice. Come on. We've got to talk.
He tugged on Draco's arm and immediately the boy followed. Dumbledore had stood up and was staring at the three of them.
This is an order meeting, Black. I assume that there's a reason you're interrupting.
Voldemort attacked us,
Sirius reported, forcing himself to ignore Draco's flinch.
And Harry defended us. I saw him fall. His body didn't hit the ground, but...
He pulled out the wand that had landed at his feet.
I got this.
There was a sudden outcry from around the table, which fell silent only when Dumbledore raised his hand.
Quiet now. You three take a seat, and we can talk through everything.
He waved and chairs appeared. Two seats between Remus and Dumbledore, and one between Remus and Andromeda. Draco moved to sit beside Remus, and Harry followed him, sitting sandwiched between Draco and Dumbledore. Sirius sat down on the other side, gazing at them all, scarcely able to believe that they could have won. Andromeda squeezed Sirius's arm with a smile, and he turned to her, feeling like he might cry from joy.
We did it,
Sirius whispered to her.
Perhaps,
Dumbledore's voice cut through the room.
It is now that we can move on to the next stage of our plan. One even more dangerous than Voldemort's defeat.
On the other side of Remus, Draco flinched. He'd taken Molly's shawl from his bag and was rubbing it between his fingers for comfort while Harry poked curiously at the empty cup before him. Molly frowned.
Perhaps it would be best if the boys weren't here for this.
They should stay, Molly, Dumbledore insisted. Harry, at least, he's the one who's done this marvellous thing, and I need to hear from him what happened. But if you want to take the Malfoy boy...
No.
Draco's voice was quiet, but it was steady.
I'm not leaving him, thank you.
Sirius was a little impressed by Draco's loyalty. At his side, Andromeda leaned in.
That's Narcissus boy.
Nymphadora said he was a jumpy little thing.
He is,
Sirius muttered back, and Dumbledore gave him a look that reminded him of all the times he caught him talking with James in class. Dumbledore cleared his throat.
As I was saying, we have a further step before us before we can end up with a world free of Voldemort. First, though, can I ask Black and the boys to give their explanations of what happened?
Sirius set out what he had seen, honest about the role Harry had played in it. This wasn't like the Death Eaters. This wasn't something to keep quiet or conceal. Then Draco spoke, his gaze down on the table and Harry nuzzling up to him and hissing.
Harry's eyes went funny. They do that sometimes.
Draco's hand fidgeted with his sleeve, but he didn't peel it back, didn't expose the mark. He was too smart for that. Draco took a deep breath.
And then the Dark Lord appeared. He went to use a spell at me and Harry made him go. He tore him to pieces.
Well done, Dumbledore praised.
And Draco seemed to relax a little, settling into his seat. All Order members present were watching them closely, and most looked happy. The same hope Sirius was feeling shining in their eyes. Only Snivellus looked unhappy with the turn of events.
There was an anger in Snivellus' expression that had Sirius wondering if he was disappointed that Voldemort had been defeated by a child. He was probably regretting the fact that with Voldemort gone, he was no longer special.
You have done incredibly, Harry. Thanks to your work, we stand a chance of defeating Voldemort for good.
I saw him torn apart,
Sirius interrupted.
Of course, Black. No one is questioning what you saw.
Dumbledore shook his head.
But I simply do not believe that this will be the end. Voldemort has devoted his life to the pursuit of immortality, to conquering death. And with information from Snape and my own research, I believe I know the steps that he took. A few of you, Severus, Moody, Black, Mrs. Tonks, may be familiar with the concept of a Horcrux. For those who are not, it is when a dark wizard splits his soul, hiding a fragment of it in something that he believes will remain safe. It keeps him anchored to life, gives him the power to overcome death. And I believe, due to memories I have seen and things that I have overheard, that this is the case here. However, rather than a single Horcrux, I believe that Voldemort has created several, splitting his soul into seven pieces, six Horcruxes and a severed piece within himself.
Sirius stared at him in disbelief, then looked at Andromeda, who appeared just as startled. They'd heard of such dark magic, of course, but he couldn't believe it was real. It was just a fairy story. But Dumbledore spoke with such sincerity.
He has placed his soul in objects that he considers precious, that are of value to him, and he has hidden those in particular locations that he treasures. Time now comes for us to do everything we can to destroy these fragments before they can allow him to reappear. Severus, you know what you must do.
The man nodded, getting to his feet. But he walked to Dumbledore, his eyes still angry, and rested his hands on Draco's chair when he reached the boy.
They could have got hurt.
The best way to safeguard the lives of young wizards and witches is to ensure that Voldemort does not return. You know what you must do.
Dumbledore dismissed Snivellus and waited until he strode from the hall before turning to the rest of them.
I believe that Voldemort kept three of his Horcruxes close. Two in the hands of trusted followers, and a third close by his side in the form of a snake. Severus has gone to destroy those. I believe I know the location of at least one other, and suspect a second. The final one, I believe, may well be hidden within our school itself. And so we shall search for them, and destroy them, and end the nightmare we have been living for over a decade. Our children won't need to live in fear any longer.
It's not over, then?
Sirius asked, suddenly feeling deflated. He'd thought for a moment the nightmare was finished, but listening to Dumbledore say they would still have to fight to ensure Voldemort stayed gone made it clear that it was far from over.
We're still... He can still come back?
I believe so, Dumbledore answered,
and Sirius wanted to scream. If Voldemort could come back, the children were still in danger.
We still achieved something today. We should still celebrate,
Albus said quietly, looking around the table.
We may not have a victory yet, but we have made a start.
He waved his wand and glasses of fire whiskey appeared before all of the adults. With a chuckle, he waved his wand again, and a jug of apple juice appeared. Remus grabbed the jug, pouring the juice into both boys' cups, and then passing it over to Tonks. The teenager responded by temporarily turning her face into that of a crone before she poured herself some of the juice.
It's still a win, Siri, Drummy murmured to him, reaching out to rest her hand on his arm. I know that this isn't over, but you and the boys have got a chance now, right?
That thought was echoed around the table, and Professor McGonagall gave both boys a hopeful smile.
Perhaps we can have everything handled before it's time for them to start school, she said, directing her words to Remus and Sirius. We've got almost a year and a half, and we helped students with unusual conditions before. I'm not saying it will be easy to accommodate Mr. Potter, but from what Lupin has said, it might at least be possible to offer him some form of schooling.
Draco twisted in his seat to gaze at McGonagall, and then turned to Remus. Sirius could practically smell the boy's excitement.
It's not a promise, Draco, but we'll try.
He wanted to give the kid that. After everything...
Draco said he didn't want to go to school without Harry, and that had changed things in Sirius's eyes. The boy was still a pure-blood brat, but he cared about Harry, and that was something. He couldn't say he'd ever understand Draco, because he reminded him too much of the worst of himself. But he was glad he was here, that Harry had a friend, and that Draco could be safe. Dumbledore cleared his throat, raising his own glass with a fond smile.
"Regardless of how far we have to go, we should celebrate our victories. To the victories we've had, and those to come, and to Harry."
"To Harry," everyone chorused, Draco raising his glass and then nudging Harry to get him to do the same. Sirius felt a sense of smugness as he took a drink, that his godson had been the one to free them from fear. They weren't victorious yet, according to Dumbledore, but they were much closer than they had been an hour ago. Sirius turned to Andromeda, grinning at her, remembering being 14 and sharing some wine with her. There was an echoing clang, one of the metal cups falling down onto the floor. Sirius turned around and was on his feet in an instant. Harry had fallen back in his chair, and his body was jerking uncontrollably. His mouth was foaming and his eyes were staring around unseeingly. He was choking, his skin changing colour almost instantly, and Sirius was pushing his way to him. Dumbledore pushed the cups to one side, and Sirius grabbed Harry. The boy was shaking so hard that he was difficult to grip. Hagrid swept the glasses onto the floor, and Sirius put Harry down on the table, looking around at the others for help. Moody stared at Harry, and even without him saying anything, Sirius could tell he thought there was no hope.
"Someone do something!" Sirius screamed as Harry gurgled and choked.
Snivellus had just left. He was the only one who'd know about potions, and Sirius couldn't even chase that thought because Harry was shaking and breathing wrong. Sirius could hear Remus saying something, but it didn't matter. He couldn't look away from his godson. He'd promised James and Lily he would always protect Harry, and he'd failed him twice. A sudden shout of pain from Remus made him risk raising his head, and he saw Remus clutching his wrist. Draco rushed to Harry, clambering up on the table.
"Draco!"
Sirius tried to reach for him, but Draco had grabbed Harry's head, and he'd shoved something into Harry's mouth. Harry gave another shudder, gasping, and then lay limp and still. Draco clung to him, stroking his fingers through Harry's hair. Sirius stepped forwards, afraid of what he would find. It took a moment, but Harry's eyes flickered open, and his arms came up to hold Draco. The two of them lay on the table, Harry whimpering softly as Draco whispered in his ear. Sirius wanted to reach out for the boys, pick them up and run. He'd moved to stand beside them, his wand drawn.
"I'd move," Dumbledore whispered, his voice shaking as he stared at Harry and Draco. "When Black and the boys... I'd moved over. Harry took my cup."
He looked lost, staring around at them all. Sirius growled. Severus had stood beside Draco. He could have dropped something in the cup. Draco was crying now, his face against Harry's shoulder. Harry's hand had reached up, stroking Draco's back, hissing softly.
"We've got to go," Remus said, resting his hand on Sirius's arm. "Now, Pads, get us out."
"What?"
"Get us out, Pads," Remus pleaded,
and Sirius morphed, transforming into Padfoot. Remus picked Harry up and off the table. Draco quickly grabbed the last few things off the floor, things he'd pulled from that ridiculous bag of his.
"Lupin!"
Dumbledore was calling out, but Remus was striding to the door. Draco at his side and Sirius followed him, snarling at Moody when he made to follow them. They reached the entrance hall.
"Black, wait!"
Kingsley was rushing between the tables, and Sirius turned back towards him with his teeth bared. Harry raised his hand from where he was lying limply in Remus's arms, and the two brooms zoomed over to them. Draco grabbed the brooms, moving to curl against Remus.
"Sirius, please!"
Draco called out, reaching for him. Sirius rushed to them before the world turned black. A moment later they were home, and Sirius turned back into a man and reached out to take the boy from Remus. Harry was almost grey, his skin still clammy.
What happened?"
Sirius stared.
"Draco, what did you—"
"Severus gave me a bazaar," Draco whispered. When I came to stay with you, he gave me it, and it was in my bag, and it's for poisons, and—"
He reached up for Harry's hand, and Sirius moved to sit on the couch, letting Draco climb up beside him so that the boy could hold on to him.
I'm sorry I bit you, Remus. I didn't want to.
You were so brave, Draco, Remus told the boy, sitting down beside him. I'm sorry. I didn't know what you were trying to do.
Sirius could see a bite mark at his wrist, but thankfully it didn't look like blood had been drawn.
Sirius and I need to talk. We'll be in the room, but we need you to be under a muffling charm. All right?
Draco nodded, holding onto Harry's hand.
I'm staying with him.
We know, Remus said gently.
He got up, casting a silencing charm and going to stand at the far end of the room. Sirius followed when he was sure that Harry was comfortable, watching as Draco pressed his toy dragon into Harry's grip.
We could have lost him, Sirius whispered. We could have... We didn't, Remus told him, leaning in to embrace him, pressing a kiss to Sirius's forehead. But someone poisoned him. They were trying to poison Dumbledore. I think it was Harry, Remus said quietly. I think Harry was the target, and it was one of them.
Snivellus?
I don't think Snape would have. It's too obvious.
Remus shook his head.
But someone in the Order, someone wants Harry dead.
Sirius glanced back at the boys cuddled together on the sofa. They were so young, and someone had tried to murder one of them. One of them would have died if the other hadn't managed to save him. He didn't think he'd ever find a way to repay Draco for what he'd done. But he'd try. They were going to look after both boys, no matter who stood in their way.
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flight and Flame, and read by Rebu Pye. Thank you for listening.
Chapter 15. Draco, the Hidden House. Hogwarts wasn't safe. Hogwarts wasn't safe because the Dark Lord got into the grounds. Hogwarts wasn't safe because someone had hurt Harry. Hogwarts wasn't safe, and Harry was lying there, almost asleep, and his skin felt cold and damp, and he was shivering. Hogwarts wasn't safe, and Draco thought he might be sick. He carefully tucked his toy dragon closer to Harry. Harry looked up at him, clearly confused because the dragon was Draco's toy, and had kept him safe, and normally Harry wasn't allowed to touch it. But right now, Draco thought Harry needed the dragon to keep him safe. Maybe it would help. Hogwarts hadn't.
Draco? Harry whispered, holding out a sweet for him. Draco's safe? Yeah.
Draco whispered, taking the seat and eating it, knowing that Harry had been poisoned earlier. If Severus hadn't given him the Bezoar. His hands were shaky, and Harry pulled him closer. Harry looked so tired. Draco knew he should be watching the adults, so that he knew what the plans were, but he wasn't sure he could. He felt really sick and cold and frightened. Harry yawned and curled up close to him, and then it was Remus who came to crouch in front of them. Draco could see the bite mark on his wrist, and he felt guilty for hurting him, but he'd had to do something. It had been important. He'd taken Molly's shawl from his bag and was cuddling it.
I think... Remus said once he'd lifted the silencing charm, that you both did very well today. Well done on your flying.
His voice was gentle, and Draco wasn't sure he could trust him, but he needed to trust someone, and Severus wasn't here, and neither was Mother or Dobby. Sirius came over in his dog form, sniffing at Harry and then nuzzling both of them. He climbed up onto the sofa so he could flop on Harry with his paw on Draco's leg. Remus sat down beside Draco, resting a hand on Sirius's fur. Draco curled up so he was cuddled between Remus and Harry.
What happens now?
Draco whispered, scared. He thought for a little while that things were better, but they weren't better. They were worse, and someone had tried to hurt Harry.
We're going to keep you two safe, Remus said firmly. We're here, and no one knows that, so it's safe for now. We're going to try and make sure that no one finds us.
Draco nodded. He didn't understand. Someone in the Order had wanted to hurt Harry, and the Dark Lord had wanted to kill Draco. No matter where they went or what they did, it felt like they were in danger. He was scared.
Can I give you a hug, Draco? Remus asked, and Draco nodded.
Remus leaned in and hugged him for a moment, and that helped a little bit. After a moment, he pulled away.
You two are safe here. We're going to make sure it's warded. We're going to carry on with your studies and make things,
And if either of you need to talk about what happened, we can do that. Draco looked up at him thoughtfully. Does that mean you can't see Severus anymore for your medicine?
Yes, Remus answered after a second as Sirius made a sad dog noise.
But I have a month's supply already, and we have the basement. Sirius and I will make sure you aren't in any danger.
I can make it, Draco told them, because he was meant to, because Severus had taught him for this reason. He was going to have to make Wolfsbane patient for Remus, and look after Harry, and make sure Sirius didn't get angry. It all felt like a lot to do, and he was scared of doing it badly and getting them in trouble.
Do you boys want to go to your room for a little bit? Remus asked, and Draco nodded quickly.
He wanted to lie down because he still didn't feel right. Remus grabbed them some water, and Draco looked at it nervously, worried in case someone had poisoned their cups here.
Draco.
I can't drink that, Draco whispered, ashamed.
Okay.
Remus conjured the cup and then filled it with a quick aguamenti.
I can try and begin to teach you that spell tomorrow. But for today, you both need some rest before dinner. Sirius can stay with you and keep you safe while I work on the walls on the house, okay?
Draco nodded, still feeling scared. He took a sip of the water, breathing out in relief when he didn't start to move the way Harry had when he'd drunk his apple juice. Harry yawned and glared when Remus went to pick him up.
Draco!
He insisted. Draco couldn't carry the other boy, but he let Harry lean on him as they went to their room. They curled up together on their bed, Harry with the dragon and him with a small shawl. Sirius flopped on his back on the other bed, waving his legs in the air. Normally Harry would laugh at that, but Harry was tired, so Draco just cuddled up silently. He poured the blankets that Molly had made them for Yule over the two of them, still gripping her shawl. He was scared, and he was wondering if he should do the things the adults did sometimes. One of them would be asleep while the other one of them would be keeping watch and making sure it was safe. He thought about asking, just in case Sirius wasn't able to keep anything dangerous away. But Harry was already asleep, and he was really, really tired, so it was just easier to curl against them and fall asleep as well. Remus woke them a few hours later, gazing at them with a lot of sadness that Draco couldn't really understand. Harry was still sleepy, snuggling into Draco, and Draco cuddled him and his toy dragon close, knowing he had to keep them safe.
It's okay. I've worked on the warding here, and I can tell you it's a lot stronger than it was before. You two are safe here, I'm certain. No one is going to find us.
Why did someone want to hurt Harry? Draco asked quietly.
Because he... Sirius started, but he fell silent when Remus shook his head.
We can't even be sure that anyone wanted to hurt Harry. They might have wanted to hurt Dumbledore and got Harry by accident. If they did want to hurt Harry, we need to try not to be upset. That makes them bad, but I'm sure the Order will find out who did it.
Remus spoke so gently. Draco wondered if he thought scary things weren't scary if he said them quietly and calmly enough.
We won't know, though, will we? Draco asked. If we're not able to see anyone, we won't know if it's safe or not.
He wondered if this would be his forever now, hiding away so that no one hurt Harry. He liked the idea more than Harry getting hurt, but it was still frightening, and he didn't want it.
We can find ways, Remus said gently. I'm not saying we stay here forever. The Order might know where we have gone, so camping might be safer. And we can find ways of communicating with them without sharing our location.
He walked over and crouched in front of Draco, looking into his eyes.
If nothing else, I don't think Molly would have ever wanted you or Harry hurt. Do you agree?
Draco nodded quickly. He didn't think Molly would have hurt him or Harry, so whoever had hurt them couldn't have been her.
Exactly, Remus said with an encouraging smile. So we can get her to act as a go-between for us and the Order till we discover what happened. We aren't entirely alone, but for now we're keeping our heads down.
Because they might try again? Draco asked, horrified. He looked towards Harry, who was smiling and cuddling Draco's toy dragon tenderly.
You're scared they'd try again.
If they try again, we'll be ready, Sirius informed him certain.
That helped, at least a little bit.
Let's get some dinner. Remus's voice was still careful. Come on. I'll talk you through what I'm making if you like, Draco. Draco nodded, taking Harry's hand in his. It wasn't that he didn't trust Remus. It was just that he'd been very scared, and he wanted to know for certain that the food wouldn't hurt Harry the way their drinks had earlier. The four of them went down to the kitchen, and Draco sat on the floor, tracing the wood grain of the floor with his fingertips. Harry hissed quietly, then reached for him. Draco.
Yes, Harry.
Draco, we safe, Harry nodded sincerely. Harry make Draco safe, and Draco make Harry safe. We safe. No cry, we safe.
Draco thought that was the longest thing that Harry had ever said that wasn't in parcel tongue.
He nodded slowly, trusting Harry. Even if he didn't trust anything else at all right now, he was sure that he could trust Harry, and that was a big help. He tried not to think about the fact that he could have lost Harry when everything had gone badly. He didn't want to not have Harry anymore.
Yeah, we're safe.
He stroked Harry's hair for a moment. The floor was a little dusty, but playing here made Harry happy, and Harry needed looking after today more than Draco did. Draco made sure they both washed their hands before dinner. The food was tasty. Remus didn't make food as good as Dobby, but that wasn't his fault because Dobby was the best at cooking, and only one person could be best at something at a time. He could barely remember when his father had wanted him to be the best at flying and best at studying. But then his father had only wanted him to be best at being Harry's, and he could do that.
Thank you, Remus.
Draco was careful to be polite, but he did appreciate what Remus had done for them, and the fact that he cared about how they were. It helped a lot. He thought about the way Remus had cuddled him. Remus wanted him to be okay too, not just Harry. And he thought that even Sirius wanted him to be okay. That helped, but he was still very scared. After dinner, he sat down with Harry and read him The Fountain of Fair Fortune, which was his favourite of the stories in his storybook. Then, both were very tired after everything that day, and he fell asleep. Harry didn't normally sleep much, but he was exhausted after what had happened, and he fell asleep really quickly. Draco curled up against him, wanting to keep him safe from all the bad things in the world. Harry had nightmares that night, hissing in fear as Draco tried to shelter him from whatever scary things were in his dreams. He wasn't sure it worked. But whenever he got Harry to look up at him, Harry gazed at him with green eyes, and that was something. That meant that maybe at least the Dark Lord wasn't going to be able to hurt Harry anymore. But there were still other fears, and Draco found himself waking multiple times as Harry cried out and hissed desperately, trying to put into words things that Draco couldn't understand. He wished that he could speak parcel tongue, but he simply couldn't learn it no matter how hard he tried. All he could do was cuddle Harry and tell him he was staying and that he was safe. The next day, Harry seemed a little brighter. He cuddled up to Draco at breakfast, and then after they had eaten, toast for Draco, porridge for Harry, because he didn't like toast, he skipped into the parlour.
Draco!
Yes? Draco followed him, frowning when Harry picked up the broom. It felt mean that when Harry wanted to fly, he had to be the one to say no.
Broom, Harry said with a grin. Draco, broom. Harry, broom.
We can't, Draco said sadly. People might find us. Harry shook his head, hissing the hiss that meant the Dark Lord, before grinning.
Gone.
He's gone, yes, but there are other people out there who might hurt us. We can't go outside.
Harry shook his head. No outside?
No outside. It's dangerous. I'm sorry.
Draco knew Harry didn't like being trapped, and he wanted to fly now.
Draco was a little nervous about getting back on a broomstick. After all, it had left them at risk. It had been fun going high with Harry's help, and he liked playing at being a seeker, but he was scared of what could go wrong.
Harry nodded thoughtfully.
Room! He insisted.
We can't go outside, Draco repeated, pouting a little.
He knew that Harry had followed what he'd said. He was just being deliberately difficult.
Harry grinned brightly. Broom inside.
With that, he sat on the broom and kicked off from the ground.
Draco bit his lip. He knew that they shouldn't fly inside, but he knew it would make Harry happy. And they couldn't go too high if they were inside. And flying was fun.
He thought for a moment longer, before he climbed onto his broom as well and kicked off, soaring through the door and out into the hallway, past the angry portrait of Sirius's mother, who still couldn't speak because Harry had stopped her. Then Harry was racing up the space between the stairs, and Draco followed him. It felt nice being on the broom again without worrying about going too high. And Harry didn't need to be scared of falling because it wasn't that far.
"Fucking hell,"
Sirius called out from below, but he was laughing and clapping his hands.
"You boys don't break anything."
"Especially yourselves," Remus called out, but it sounded like he was laughing as well, and that was nice. Draco let himself have fun, chasing Harry along corridors and up towards the ceiling. The house wasn't very big, not compared to his old house, but he knew that everyone here didn't want to hurt them. And Harry was giggling and having fun, and he found himself giggling too. Draco remembered how to brew Wolfsbane potion. He made himself write out the instructions from memory before he compared his list with Severus's. He got it all right. He knew what he was doing, and the first month that his own potion was used, it worked. Remus was okay, and apparently sleeping and docile all night. Making Wolfsbane potion was a big job, but Draco could do it now that Severus couldn't. Sometimes, Sirius said not very nice things about Severus. But Remus would always step in to protect Severus. Sirius wasn't ever mean to Draco anymore. He was nice to him, patient even. After that moon, it had become obvious that Draco's robes were too short. Draco was scared, in case Sirius was going to insist he wore muggle clothes. He tried to teach himself more spells, but all the ones for fixing clothes were very, very complicated, and he couldn't work out how to do them. He'd learned some spells because Remus helped him. He could make water appear, which was good because it meant that he knew no one could poison Harry. And he could make a matchstick into a needle, but whenever he tried to make a needle into a matchstick, the matchstick didn't catch fire. Remus said that was normal, though, and that he'd get better at in time. Flowers started to grow in the garden outside. He and Harry couldn't go outside much, though, and never to fly. They were only allowed out when they had taken polyjuice, and that was rare. Once they polyjuiced into adults, but Harry couldn't walk in a bigger body, so they used kids again after that. Draco knew that there were still people who wanted to hurt Harry, and he couldn't let that happen. Harry still had nightmares. Draco tried to cuddle him and talk him down, but Harry wouldn't say about what they were. Sometimes he'd go and play with a candle for a little while, making fire animals. Other times he would practice his writing or just walk around the room, or cuddle to Draco so close that Draco was reminded of Letherfolds. Draco didn't mind, though, because when he had nightmares, Harry would look after him. Sirius stared at him over the dinner table. It was getting close to the full moon, and Remus was eating meat that wasn't very cooked because the wolf was hungry. Harry glared at Sirius and wrapped a protective arm around Draco. Draco wasn't so scared now that Sirius might throw him out, but he still was nervous about how Sirius was looking at him.
"You've got too tall for those robes, Draco,"
Sirius muttered, and Remus looked over and nodded. Draco tried to curl up smaller to stop himself from looking so tall.
I don't mind, Draco whispered.
Harry still didn't wear his shoes or socks almost all the time, so he didn't see why he would need to wear muggle clothes if he didn't want to. But he knew Harry not wanting things was more important than him wanting things.
"What's wrong?"
Sirius frowned, leaning forwards.
I don't want to wear muggle clothes, Draco admitted. Mother always made me wear nice robes, especially if I was playing with Harry, and she said it was important.
Draco,
Remus leaned in, a kind expression on his face.
Your mother was saying that because of where you were. Because the people who you were with would treat you differently if you were dressed as a pureblood from how they might if you wore anything else. But it shouldn't matter. How people dress isn't something we should judge anyone on.
I know, Draco answered. Harry wears muggle clothes all the time, and he's Harry. But I don't want to wear muggle clothes.
Draco,
Remus began, but Sirius shook his head.
Look, Draco.
He sounded almost angry, and Draco half expected Sirius to shout at him. But he smiled instead of yelling.
It's okay. You don't have to wear muggle clothing if you don't like. But we can't easily get you new robes.
I can keep wearing these ones, Draco said quickly.
His robes were made of nice material, and his mother had got them for him. That meant they were important. I want to keep them anyway.
All right. Well, we can always shrink them in your trunk if you need to make more space, and I can probably adjust them so they fit better, but I have some other robes you can have, if you want.
Draco stared at him, confused. Sirius had just said he couldn't get new robes, so that didn't make sense.
I had a brother when I was younger. He died because he got... He fucked up and... Shit, sorry. He messed up. He died, and I... But he was the good son, not like me. My mother burned all my stuff. She burned me off the family tree. But she kept his stuff. I found boxes of it in the attic. So Remus and I can take a look at some of your robes and adjust them. But if you want, you can have Reddy's robes.
Oh. Draco looked at Sirius. He looked kind of sad, but he wasn't angry, and that helped. I think I'd like that, if it's okay.
He'd have liked you. You remind me a lot of him, and...
Sirius shrugged.
Yeah. You should have them. They aren't doing much good in the box in the attic, and... Yeah, you should have them.
He nodded to himself, and Draco managed to smile. He'd been a bit worried that robes in the attic would have been gross and covered in cobwebs or dust. But it seemed like the house elf, who was still there but never seen, had tried very hard to look after those clothes. When Draco tried them on, they fitted well and looked really smart.
Thank you, Sirius's brother, Draco murmured, twirling in front of the mirror and showing off to Harry.
The set he was trying on were a deep emerald green that matched the dress his mother had worn sometimes. He spun in a circle so that his robe flared out around him, and then he rushed off to show Sirius and Remus. Remus hugged him, and Sirius nodded awkwardly when he saw it.
You look good, kid, Sirius muttered. Well done.
Draco wasn't sure why Sirius said well done when all he'd done was put robes on. But he got it was important to Sirius, so he tried to smile. Sirius patted his hair, but he didn't complain, because he thought it was Sirius being nice. The new robes helped Draco a lot. He felt very smart-looking, and that was nice. Harry seemed to like them too, patting Draco's left sleeve encouragingly. He leaned into Draco and whispered in his ear.
Word? Fucked up?
He looked hopefully at Draco, expecting Draco to give him a definition.
It means it went bad, but you shouldn't say it. It's a grown-up word, and we're not grown-ups.
Harry giggled to himself, and Draco rolled his eyes and pressed his finger to Harry's lips. It was almost Draco's birthday, and Draco felt very funny about that. It would mean he was 10, which would mean it was only one more year before Hogwarts, only it hadn't meant that for him for a long time. And it meant a year since Harry had marked him, and almost a year since they'd run away together and met Sirius and Remus. Draco remembered how scared he'd been of Sirius at first. Sirius could still be a little scary at times, but Draco knew that Sirius and Remus would keep them safe. It was hard being stuck inside all the time. He didn't think the adults liked it any more than he and Harry did, and Harry kept asking Draco to go out. For now, he listened when Draco said no, but he didn't know if that would last forever. They studied, and Harry was getting better at his magic and his speaking, but it still wasn't right. His magic didn't work the way magic was meant to, and sometimes Harry would hiss rather than speak out loud. It got scary sometimes being stuck inside all the time. Other times it was boring and horrible, and the adults got grumpy at each other, and Draco got afraid they'd get mad at them. It wasn't fun being trapped. Sirius was helping, though. He knew they liked flying, so he let them fly in the house, and he made all kinds of obstacle courses for them to fly through. Harry was better than Draco was. He was always the one to get the fastest time, and he was braver when it came to flying at the door, but Draco wasn't that much behind him. Today they were having a race. Sirius had put all kinds of obstacles up along the hall. There was a ball you had to throw into a box, and a beanbag to balance on your head. There were some hoops floating in mid-air to get through, and some spoons that Remus had charmed to float in the middle of the corridor for them to grab.
You boys remember what you're doing? Sirius asked, stopwatch in his hand.
Yes,
Draco called, and Harry nodded enthusiastically, shuffling his weight a little. Harry wanted to be flying. They both did.
3, 2, 1, fly!
Sirius shouted, and jumped to the side as Draco and Harry took to the air. Draco didn't feel scared about flying in the house now.
They were allowed, and when they were racing, Sirius put down cushioning charms in case they fell. So he grabbed the ball. His was on a table, while Harry's was on the floor, because Harry could summon it to him wondrously, and Draco couldn't. He threw the ball into the box, sneaking a glimpse at Harry. Harry had already got the beanbag on his head. "Harry, no using magic to stick it," he reminded him, because Harry's beanbag was at a silly angle that shouldn't have been possible. He grabbed his own, keeping it on his head as he flew along the corridor, up one flight of stairs, and through a hoop. It slid off his head a moment after, but that was okay. You only had to get through the first hoop with it on. Then the hoops were moving, slowly floating up and down. He took a couple of moments to make sure he wouldn't hit himself, and then dive through the second hoop, and up to the third, and wheel to the left to get the final hoop. He could hear Sirius whooping from the corridor below. Then they both had to grab four spoons from the floating ones. It was a little bit like catching snitches, and Sirius said he thought either of them would be a good seeker. Harry was better, but Draco was improving all the time. At that moment, Harry clapped his hands to call the spoons to him. "Harry!" Draco complained, and Harry rolled his eyes but let them float back to where they should be as he giggled, and Draco found himself giggling too. "You have to get another spoon, Harry!" Draco called out, and Harry did as he was told as Draco caught his own four spoons, holding them carefully so he didn't fall off his broom. Harry was still chasing the last one as he started to fly down to Sirius, but before he got there, Harry went racing past. Draco winced, afraid Harry might hit the ground, but a moment later Harry had stopped. Sirius clicked the stopwatch and clicked it again when Draco landed.
"Amazing! Well done, Harry! Was that only two accidental magic uses this time?" he asked,
and Harry nodded, immediately going to cuddle up to Draco. Draco hugged him, knowing Sirius wanted to hug him, but Harry still didn't like it if the adults touched him. Sirius continued,
"And Draco, that was 4 seconds faster than your previous best. Well done."
Sirius awkwardly held out his arms for a hug, and Draco hugged him very quickly before Sirius turned into a dog for Harry to pet. Harry petted the dog happily. Remus came back in from shopping with a serious look on his face, but once he heard how well they had flown, he seemed to be in a better mood and praised both of them. After dinner, he looked serious again and told the boys to have an early night. Draco considered arguing that he wasn't tired, but he wanted to make Remus happy, so he went to go to bed. Harry cuddled up against him.
"Draco, fly good," Harry muttered.
"Harry, happy flying. So good. Draco, fly so good. Get ball and beanbag and hoop and spoon."
He grinned proudly at that, and Draco nodded.
"Do you want me to help you write about that in your notebook?" Draco offered,
but Harry shook his head.
"Draco cuddle, my Draco."
He grinned again and patted Draco's hair, and Draco smiled and drifted off to sleep. Harry still didn't sleep much, so he'd keep watch.
"No!"
Harry's voice was loud and Draco jumped because Harry had nightmares, but he hadn't screamed like that since the time they'd flown outside when Harry had been hurt.
"No!"
Draco wrapped around him, letting Harry hide his face on Draco's pyjamas. He didn't know if Harry's eyes had turned red or if this was a real nightmare. Then the door to the bedroom opened and Sirius and Remus were both there. Draco could see in their faces that it wasn't a nightmare. He hugged Harry and rocked him as he cried, until eventually he fell asleep.
"Draco,"
Harry's voice was soft.
"Scared."
"I know, Harry," Draco whispered, "but we're here for you." He looked up at the adults.
What's happening?"
"The prophet says you know who is back," Remus said quietly.
"What Dumbledore said about the possibility of his return. The order failed to destroy those things. But he might be weaker. And if he comes again, we are here to defend you."
Draco knew what that meant. The Dark Lord was going to be coming for Harry. He tangled his fingers in Harry's and squeezed as tight as he could.
"Draco?"
Harry asked, and he sounded so lost. Draco leaned in to look at those brilliant emerald eyes, seeing how frightened Harry was, even if he couldn't easily put it into words. But Draco could help. He could make Harry feel safe the way Harry made him feel safe when he was afraid.
"Harry safe. Harry mine."
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flesh and Flame, and read by Rebu Pai. Thank you for listening.
Chapter 16. Lupin. Precious Moments. When he first read the article claiming that you-know-who had been cited, rumors had hoped it was just another rumor. There had been several over the past few months, constant litany of fear. And none of them had proved to be true. But none of them had caused Harry to have one of his episodes. This was different. The monster that they all feared, the monster that Harry had defeated, was back. He was looking for them. Remus watched as Draco and Harry curled up against each other, and Sirius checked the warding on the room. He felt afraid. He knew that he and Sirius would both do whatever they could to keep the children safe, but he was worried it wouldn't be enough to protect them from the strength of the evil that meant them harm.
"Wake us if you need something,"
Sirius told Harry, because Draco had already fallen asleep. Harry nodded, and it struck Remus that Harry listened to them now. Harry cared about what they said and tried to respond. He'd come a long way from the angry boy they'd first met, who spoke to no one other than Draco. Remus shuddered, afraid of what might happen to Harry if he was found. What Lord Voldemort might do to the two boys who'd managed to make a life for themselves after a seemingly unbearable starting point. Sirius rested his hand on Remus's arm as they left the room. He warded the door, then turned to him.
"He doesn't know where we are, Mooney. We've still got a chance of staying safe, if we're lucky. And Harry defeated him before, so...
I'm not a child, Pads. We don't need to lie and make it sound better, because I know." There was no hope. Not really. Not with the forces of darkness pressing down on them.
"I know, but Harry won last time, and he's getting more control over his magic, and getting stronger. And he cares. We're not. We still have a chance."
Sirius gazed into Remus's eyes, with the same stubborn hope that had been there the day he told Remus he knew what he was, and that he wasn't afraid of him. Remus nodded, fighting back tears. The boys were so young. He just wanted them safe. But he knew Sirius felt the same.
"We should contact Molly again, see what she can tell us," Sirius suggested,
and Remus made himself nod. Molly had been good to them over the last 5.5 months, supplying information and good food and welcoming them whenever they had visited. She'd given them some of Arthur's hair to use for Polyjuice, and she had told him that the Order was still fighting. But there'd been no warning from her about this. And Remus thought that probably meant this latest development came as a surprise to the Order as well. "So what do we do, Pads?" Remus murmured, his voice a little shaky.
"We celebrate Draco's birthday this week, and we make him feel special. And we keep teaching them what we can. And we love them. That's all we can do,"
Sirius muttered, and he pulled Remus into his arms.
"We'll be okay."
Remus wasn't sure he believed that. But he wanted it to be the truth. With Sirius holding him, it felt like maybe it could be. The next few days were difficult. Harry had 5 episodes in total, far closer together than they had ever been previously. But finally, it was Draco's birthday. Draco never got much of a chance to lie in. Apparently, Harry woke up early and insisted on poking Draco awake every morning. But Sirius had spoken to Harry and asked him not to wake up Draco that day unless it was an emergency. They got the boy a few presents and were going to cook him his favourite meal. Sirius was going to get the two of them to practice flying because they seemed to enjoy that. It wasn't how Remus would have wanted to celebrate the boy's birthday, but given that they were basically trapped inside the house for now, he thought it might work. It was almost 10 before he heard Draco wake up. He poured the cake he'd made from the oven and checked on the pancakes he'd made for the boys, still stable under the stasis charm. It didn't take long until Draco appeared. He was wearing his favourite green robes today, his blue bag over his shoulder. Harry was walking alongside him, cuddling onto the tail of his fox toy which had somehow survived the boy's more destructive tendencies.
"You look nice. Mother got me them for my last birthday," Draco said softly, a sad look on his face. "Do you think she misses me today?"
"Oh." Remus crouched down so he could look the little boy in the eyes. "I think your mother misses you every day, Draco. But I think she'll be happy that you are somewhere you are safe, and that you have friends."
Is it bad that I miss her?" Draco whispered, fidgeting a little where he stood. I
I do. And I know you and Sirius take good care of us, but...
I think it's very good that you miss her, Draco.
It means you feel safe with her, and you know she loves you very much.
I still miss Lily and James, and it's been almost 7 years now. Sometimes, when you can't see people you love anymore, it hurts. And that's okay. But it's also okay if you don't always miss her.
Remus hadn't expected Draco to be in a solemn mood today. He had expected him to be excited. But he knew that Draco's birthday the previous year had been the start of everything changing for him. Draco nodded and moved forwards for a moment to cuddle Remus before he returned to Harry. Harry cuddled him, leaning in to whisper in Draco's ear and stroking his hair. Remus stood up.
We've made you breakfast, and we've got some cake.
Mother and Severus had cake with me last year, Draco said with a damp smile. Father didn't really. He was too busy doing important things, and he didn't think I was important. Not with Harry, but...
He shrugged his little shoulders.
Mother and Severus always made me feel important.
You are important, Draco, Remus said.
And Draco looked at him curiously and nodded. Do you like me being here? Draco asked. Harry immediately cuddled him around the waist. My Draco! I know, Harry.
Draco shook his head.
But I mean, I don't want to be a bother, but... He looked at Remus. I'm helpful to have around, right? I can make your medicine and...
You do so well making my medicine, Draco.
But that's not why you matter. You matter because you are you, and we care about you.
Remus hated the way Draco still doubted himself.
They'd done what they could to try and make him feel safe, but it wasn't always enough.
Come on, I've made pancakes.
Draco's face lit up and he dragged Harry over to the table, looking up expectantly. Sirius and Remus took their seats, Sirius floating the food over with a wave of his wand. Draco filled the water jug with agua menti, and Remus filled their glasses with the water from the jug. The boys devoured the food surprisingly quickly, and then Remus took them for one of their flying races.
Remus chose not to watch those. He knew that they enjoyed it, but he was always terrified that one or other of them was going to fall off their booms.
A few hours later, Remus stuck his head out into the corridor and asked, "What do you want for lunch?" He caught a glimpse of the two brooms zooming up the stairs.
"Cake!" Draco shouted from the floor up. "Fine," Remus laughed.
He wasn't sure cake was lunch, but she only turned 10 once. He went to get the cake ready, and the four of them clustered around the table together. He cut generous slices using his wand, handing one to Draco first, then passing Harry's slice to Sirius, so that Sirius could cut it into bite-sized pieces. Draco managed a shy smile at them.
"We've got presents and things for you after cake, but it's probably best to do it after you've washed up."
Remus gave a significant glance towards Harry. Draco grinned at them, eating his slice with a fork. Once they had eaten and Harry had been cleaned of jam, Remus fetched the presents. First of all, there were cards, from him and Sirius, Harry, Snape and Molly. Draco carefully read over each of them, brushing his fingers gently over the signatures. Snape's had been waiting at Molly's 3 months ago, but Remus didn't think Draco needed to know that.
"Thank you," Draco said softly, grinning at Harry, who had decorated his with handprints and managed to write the entire card by himself.
Remus was amazed by how much the boy had managed to learn in the time he'd been with them.
"Happy birthday, Draco," Remus said before Sirius began singing Happy Birthday.
Harry joined in very enthusiastically, if horribly off-key, and Remus tried valiantly to preserve the tune, even with Sirius morphing into a dog and barking the final line. Draco was laughing, his earlier sadness forgotten. He clapped and then beamed as Harry rushed off and came back carrying a small pile of presents. A green scarf and hat for Molly, which Draco insisted on wearing even though it was early June. A few books from Remus and Sirius relating to potions theory, and a small dragon statue from Harry, which would wander around and flap its wings. Finally, there was a small leather box from Sirius.
"You should open this carefully," Sirius said with a grin. "Remus sent me out to get the presents, but he was getting you boring things, so I got this as well."
"What?" Draco opened the box, and a tiny golden sphere was inside. Its wings unfurled, as though awoken from slumber.
"Touch it,"
Sirius instructed. Draco did, putting his hand on the snitch, and Sirius beamed.
There we go. That's going to answer to you now. So you and Harry can chase it in the house, but if it gets lost somewhere, we'll be able to get it to come back to you.
Draco gazed at them in wonder, picking up the snitch and stroking his fingers over it gently. He looked down at it and at the books, then bit his lip.
Can we have a little bit more flying practice time? And then I can read.
Whatever you want, kid, Sirius answered with an easy grin. It's your birthday.
Thank you.
Draco bounced out of his seat, gripping his snitch tightly.
Come on, Harry, let's play.
Harry nodded and got up from his chair. He was frowning a little and rubbing his head over his scar.
Are you all right?
Draco asked, and Harry nodded sincerely.
Brooms. Okay, brooms.
Draco grinned and rushed to get his. Over the next month, Harry seemed to be getting headaches more often. Remus tried to ask him, but whenever he did, Harry would refuse to answer. Anyway, Harry seemed to be having episodes most days, at all times of the day and night. It seemed like those could be the cause of the headaches. It broke Remus's heart to see him hurting so much, but they all tried to support him. They taught Draco Obscuro, so that he could blindfold Harry if needed, and that seemed to help. Remus had been trying to find out what he could about how to support kids in difficult situations, and giving them something that they could do to feel in control was apparently important. For him, they'd been decorating the basements where he would spend the full moon. Giving Draco a sense of control was worth the awkwardness of finding himself repeatedly magically blindfolded, as Draco learned. The 1-year anniversary of the boys' escape, the boys' arrival, was on a beautiful day. Sirius was pacing around, trying to work out how they could go outside, but Remus had to refuse his ideas. He hated having to keep the children cooped up all the time, but he was still unsure of what had happened. He didn't know who could have poisoned Harry or why. The poison had to be in the cup, but Harry and Draco had chosen their seats. He considered the possibility that it was Draco that was the target, but that didn't make sense. No one would want Draco dead that badly. Anyway, the plan had been for the children to fly outside. They never should have been in the hall. Sirius was furious whenever the poison came up in conversation. It had ruined Harry's moment of triumph, and it didn't matter now anyway, because Lord Voldemort was back and seemed to be trying to find them.
Maybe we should leave the country, Sirius suggested for what had to be the 20th time.
The boys were studying in their bedroom, and Remus had gone to make lunch when Sirius had hopped up onto the table.
Start somewhere new. We'll never get them across the borders, and we wouldn't be able to communicate with Molly. We stay for now. I already spent 6 years locked up, Moony. I'm not sure how much longer I can stand it.
Go if you need to, but I'm keeping the boys here. Remus reached out for Sirius's hands, holding him close.
I don't want to lose you, but these kids need to be here because it's safer and...
I'm not leaving you, Arthur, Sirius muttered, pressing a kiss to Remus's cheek.
I hate it.
We all do, Remus promised, and he doubted that was reassuring to hear, but it was the truth.
It won't be forever. The Order will win.
Sirius growled softly, and Remus scratched him behind the ear, looking at him fondly.
I know, but if we only have to fight on one side...
Never thought you'd be the confident one, Sirius said with a smile. You've changed, Remus.
I've got the love of my life back, and children who need me. I can't be anything other than confident,
Remus answered, embracing Sirius for a moment. Sirius curled up against him, and he murmured gently that it would be all right. This year, at least, Harry was able to understand that it was his birthday and was excited about it. That day, the four of them sat in the library after breakfast and some flying. Remus and Draco read, and Sirius was flopped in front of the fire with Harry patting him. Harry was playing with the flames again, which Remus tried to ignore. They never got any bigger, and he seemed to have control of it, so there was no point in arguing. Not when Harry didn't know what he was doing wrong, and there was no way of explaining it. The fire turned green, and Harry yelped, hiding behind Sirius, who growled towards the flames. It was a moment before Molly's head appeared in the fire.
I'm sorry to bother you all, but Snape has appeared,
and he was asking if he could speak to you, Remus. I've left him out in the garden, so don't worry. He won't know the address. If you can come here, please do. With that, she disappeared. Sirius instantly morphed back into a man.
Snivel us and know where we are. He's a Legilimens.
Surfer says it's bad to look in people's heads unless you ask. And if he's asked, Molly would say no, Draco pointed out, only to flinch back at Sirius's glare. Sirius raised his hands, muttering an apology.
What do we do? Sirius asked.
I could go, Draco suggested hopefully.
No. Remus and Sirius spoke together, frowning. No, you can't go. That won't work, Sirius said quickly,
and Remus gave him a sympathetic look. It isn't safe, Draco. But it's Harry people want,
and they can use you to get him, Remus explained, as patiently as he could.
I'm sorry, Draco. You can write a letter to Snape if that would help. For a moment, he thought Draco would argue. But instead, Draco nodded and rushed off to write a letter to Snape. Remus hoped Snape would at least take the letter, so that Draco could be spared the pain of rejection.
You aren't going alone, Sirius said once Draco had gone. It's not safe.
We can't leave the children.
Anyway, I can polyjesus Arthur, but we can't both do that, and the Order and the Death Eaters know you're an Animagus, Sirius. You have to trust me. It's not that I don't trust you, Sirius told him, reaching out to kiss him and stroking his fingers with Remus's hair. I trust you completely. You know that, right?
I know that. Remus smiled at him sadly. But that means you have to stay here with the kids and let me handle him.
Don't let him hurt you, Sirius said softly.
And Remus nodded. He thought of when they were teenagers. Snape had never hurt him. It had been Sirius who had nearly killed Snape. But that was an old argument, not one he could face today.
I won't. You look after the boys.
Harry pouted slightly.
Stay.
I'll come back. It's important, Harry. Remus knew that if Harry wanted to stop him leaving, Harry could do that. Harry didn't use his magic against them, but it was still a concern. Instead, Harry nodded and looked expectantly at Sirius.
Dog hug?
Sirius morphed instantly, rushing to Harry to cuddle him close. Although Harry hated human touches, he was eager enough to cuddle Sirius in his other form. Draco returned with a letter that he had neatly folded up. At the point where the edges of the parchment met, Draco had drawn a complicated seal to ensure it couldn't be read.
You haven't told him where we are, have you? Remus asked, and Draco shook his head.
Remus folded the letter and placed it in the safety of his pocket.
I haven't said where we are, just told him about some potions things and talked about my birthday presents. I said we practiced flying, but I didn't say it was inside.
He looked nervous, and Remus gave him an encouraging nod before he grabbed the polyjuice potion from the mantelpiece and took a gulp. Sirius turned away, whining in distress at the fact Remus had turned into Arthur Weasley. Unable to resist, Remus walked over and patted Sirius, pressing a kiss to the fur on the top of his head. Sirius whined again and then tried to lick Remus's face.
Remus laughed. Be good, okay?
Sirius headbutted his hand, and Remus patted him. Then Remus walked to the fire, picking up a handful of green powder. He would upper it back to make sure no one could trace where he went. But for going there, using the flue network would be easiest.
The burrow.
He paused for only a moment before stepping into the brilliant green flames. Finding himself in the Weasley residence was always welcoming, and he smiled when he saw Molly had a basket of food waiting on the table for him to bring home. She always took care of them. She embraced him.
Don't worry. The kids are all out. I sent Percy to take the younger ones for a walk.
Remus wasn't sure that would be the best idea. Percy had little control over his younger siblings at the best of times. But he was glad they were safe at least.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's all right, Molly answered, busying herself around the kitchen. Remus suspected that she was trying not to look at him in his borrowed body.
He's out in the garden. There's food for you before you go.
Thank you, Molly, Remus replied, grateful. Molly had been a vital part of the Order since the deaths of her brothers. Even if she wasn't one for combat, she supplied safety and kindness, and those were needed in abundance. Hers and Arthur's marriage was unofficial,
as it had been caught up in red tape orchestrated by those who considered them blood traitors. But it didn't bother her in the least, and Remus admired her for that.
Don't worry about it, dear. And how are those precious boys of yours?
They're doing well. Draco's learning incredibly, and Harry's gaining a bit more control over what he can do, so yes, I really think they're brilliant. I just hope this nightmare's over soon. Harry did so well ending You Know Who once. That's got to be a sign this won't be forever, right? Molly asked, looking both nervous and hopeful. Remus wished she could give her the certainty that he knew she needed, but there was no easy way to begin to explain it.
We're doing what we can to end him, and with what Dumbledore said. We've got to have hope, Molly. We've got to be strong.
She nodded and hugged him briefly. I'm sorry that you're still cooped up. Dumbledore's been asking after you. But don't worry, I haven't told anyone where you are, or even that I know. It was just that Snape turned up and said he wanted to speak to you, and that he'd be outside for the next 2 hours and... Well, I just thought with everything...
No, you did the right thing, Remus reassured her. You're doing wonderfully, thank you.
He swallowed, feeling a little silly standing there in Arthur's body.
I'll go and talk to him.
Take the food so you can leave afterwards, Molly insisted, pressing the basket into his hands. Those kids of yours need food.
Thanks. I hope they can see you soon. They use those blankets all the time, and Draco is still carrying around your shawl, Remus told her.
She managed a brief smile, and they awkwardly embraced before Remus headed out into the garden. Snape was there, walking along and ignoring the cluster of gnomes on the ground. He spotted Remus and walked over to him.
Lupin, thank you for coming.
How could you?
The way you hold yourself, Snape answered. You've never been one to stand with confidence the way Arthur does. No, it's quite obvious, even from sight alone, if you know the person being copied.
Oh, well, first off, I have a letter from Draco here. He's been making the Wolfsbane potion perfectly.
I expect nothing less, Snape answered.
But Lupin rather suspected there was a note of pride in his voice. Snape took the letter, slipping it into a pocket in the folds of his cloak without looking at it.
As I'm sure you've guessed, I heard what happened at the meeting to Harry.
Do you think they were targeting him?
I'm certain of it, but I cannot tell you why, Snape said.
And Remus rather suspected there was more to it than Snape was letting on.
Then why ask to see me?
Two reasons. Molly might not have told you. She might not have known, but Dumbledore is very sick.
There was an unpleasant expression on Snape's face, one that Remus didn't really trust. After a moment, Snape continued.
He told you of the Horcruxes? In his attempts at destroying them, he became injured. One of the items was cursed. I can't tell you more than that, but destroying the others is more urgent to him than ever.
If we can help in any way...
You two are caring for the children and keeping them hidden from those who mean to hurt them, Snape answered. That's vital.
The Dark Lord is searching for Harry. He wishes for him back more than ever, and he has been... ruminating on ways to torture Draco when he retrieves them both.
You must continue to conceal the boys from the eyes of those who wish them harm. But this brings me to the final reason, not something I could cover in a note given to Miss Pruitt.
Mrs. Weasley is a valued member of the Order.
Indeed. However, that wasn't... I don't know how much you know of the circumstances around the Potter's deaths.
I know Sirius wasn't the secret keeper. He didn't betray them. That was Peter and...
James should have had something with him. If he had it, it might have saved him.
Snape shook his head.
What I am about to give you, I have taken a great risk to myself. If its absence were to be discovered, they would know where my true loyalties lie. But there are some things more important than our safety, aren't there?
He sighed and pulled a folded invisibility cloak from his pocket. He shook it, and the shimmering fabric seemed to glitter. Remus instantly knew it was James's cloak. Remus had spent most of his teenage years with his friends causing problems using it, hiding beneath it in various combinations to break school rules and never get caught. It looked just as flawless as it had back then. He stared at Snape, who had been the victim of several of James's and Sirius's pranks using this cloak. Snape was right. If James had the cloak, he and Lily would have stood a chance against Lord Voldemort.
Just keep those boys safe, Snape insisted.
Until my last breath, Remus promised.
He meant that at least,
He hoped it didn't come to that, but he knew it might. The invisibility cloak, though, that could change things. It was something that they could use, something that gave them a chance for freedom, and he wouldn't let it slip through his fingers. Snape nodded sharply. The snake Horcrux is gone. So is the ring. The Dark Lord may have returned, may be aiming to show himself as triumphant, but he is frightened. He may make mistakes, but I need to go before my absence is missed. Is Draco's mum alive? She's well enough, Snape answered. She misses him, but she is well. Take care of them. He turned and strode away, and we must watch him go before he slipped the invisibility cloak into the basket of food. He waited until Snape was gone before he went to apparate home, wondering what Sirius and the boys had been doing during his absence.
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flight and Flame, and read by Rebu Pye. Thank you for listening.
Chapter 17. Draco. The Notebook and the Locket. Draco decided fairly quickly that he didn't like the invisibility cloak. It was nice they could go outside now, at least for a little while. Just to walk beside whichever adult was polyjuicing to Arthur today. And he liked the way that when they were under it, Harry would grip his arm over the brand, and he could feel Harry's magic connecting them. And he liked that Harry had been able to practice some magic using his staff now he could go outside, where it wouldn't damage the house if he did it wrong. But he didn't like the fact that Harry had accidentally crept up on him wearing it. He didn't think Harry meant to do it. He'd been reading alone in their room, and the door had opened. He'd heard footsteps, and he'd been so afraid he'd started to panic, his breath coming too fast. Then Harry had wrapped around him, only he hadn't known it was Harry, and he breathed even faster. He cried and called out for Harry, and it was only when he heard Harry hiss beside his ear that he'd realised what had happened, and he felt very silly about it. It was useful to have, but after that incident, he was just uncertain about it. In a way, it felt hard to trust, which he knew was silly. Anyway, Severus had given it to Remus, and he trusted Severus and Remus. The really scary thing, though, was the idea it might not have been Harry in the cloak, that someone else could have got in and found them. He found himself staring at empty corners, wondering if there was someone there who wanted to hurt them. He tried not to worry about it. Harry was writing in his book, while Draco was reading through his potions books again, trying to remember various lists of ingredients. He had found some interesting books on potions in the house in a room that Harry had opened the door of, and he had added them to the ones in his trunk. "Read?" Harry asked, and Draco started to read the book in front of him. "To prepare the draught of living death, you need..." "Read Fountain?" Harry asked hopefully. Draco sighed and put his books aside, picking up his favourite fairy story. He knew his father hated this story, but it had always been his favourite. And he knew it made his mother happy as well, because it was about how you could be clever, even if someone had taken your wand away. And he liked reading it with Harry. "All right. Comfortable?" Draco asked. Harry nodded, nuzzling into his sight, and Draco started to read. "High on a hill in an enchanted garden, enclosed by tall walls and protected by strong magic, flowed the fountain of fair fortune." The next day, Draco decided he wanted to see if there were more potions book in the room Harry had found, because he couldn't find the potion that Ophelda made in the Fountain of Fair Fortune in any of the books he had. Draco knew that he wasn't really meant to pick up some of the dark artifacts in the house, but he wasn't looking for dark artifacts. He was looking for books, so that was okay. "Harry, should we look in that bedroom again?" Harry nodded and walked with him to the bedroom with interesting books and things in, opening the door again. While Draco stood on a chair and looked through the books to try and find one that he could use, Harry poked around on lower shelves. There was suddenly music, a faint tinkling kind of music that made him feel quite sleepy. He swayed a little where he was, deciding to sit down. He thought it might be a good idea to get some sleep because he was very tired. He closed his eyes, curling up on the chair and then frowning at Harry, who was still poking around. Harry was always near him when he slept. "Harry," he yawned, moving to the floor which was more comfortable. "Sleep." Harry hissed at him, but Draco was too tired to worry about that, and then Harry ran away. Draco was too tired to be upset and fell asleep between one breath and the next.
"Draco,"
Sirius gave his arm another rough shake, and Draco whimpered and looked around. He was in his bedroom, and several things were broken. Remus and Sirius were looking down at him, and they both looked very, very angry and upset, and Draco flinched in fear. Harry was curled up beside him, patting his hair.
"Are you all right?"
Remus asked, and Draco nodded, even though he didn't feel very well.
Just tired. What happened?
What happened is you nearly...
Sirius started, then fell silent.
I know you boys are bored in here, but you can't just explore without telling us,
Remus said softly.
I just wanted to find some potion books, because in the story, Athelda makes a potion, and I can't work out which one it is,
Drake explained, feeling small.
Okay, well, next time I see Snape, I'll ask him which one it is, all right? But you can't go exploring in that room. We locked the door for a reason.
Hello,
Draco swallowed, feeling guilty.
I hadn't realized he locked it. I thought the door was just closed and...
It's okay, Sirius told him, voice gentle. But you need to rest, okay?
Okay,
Draco promised, because he did feel a little bit tired. And then he fell back asleep, waking up when Sirius brought him some food, and then when Remus came to check on him. It was only on the third day after the music played in the bedroom that he felt a little bit better. He sat up in bed, propping himself against his pillows, and saw that Harry was sitting nearby, writing in his notebook.
Draco!
Harry squealed, rushing to him and wrapping around him, petting his hair quickly.
Draco! Draco's safe! Draco's safe!
Yes, I'm fine, Draco promised, and Harry pressed the card into his hands.
Get well, Draco,
was written on the front, and inside it said,
Draco, I wish you a quick recovery, Harry.
Draco frowned a little at that. There was something about the letter that didn't quite make sense. Neither did some of Harry's writing style. The flourish on the Y didn't look like anyone's writing Draco had seen it before. He had a bit of a headache, but something was bothering him.
Harry, read this out.
He pointed to the inside of the card.
Draco,
Harry said enthusiastically.
I want you not ill, Harry.
No,
word by word?
Draco frowned more. Harry was so much better at reading and speaking than he had been at first, but he didn't think Harry was able to read and write that well.
Draco, I want you not ill, Harry.
Harry repeated. Draco didn't understand.
Did Remus or Sirius help you write this?
No, Harry grinned proudly at him.
Me.
But, Draco frowned.
Did you copy it from a reading book?
Notebook, Harry answered, grinning. Draco stared at him, then at the card, and then back at Harry.
You wrote it in your notebook to practice.
Harry nodded quickly, and his smile only broadened.
Book help.
Draco frowned a little. He'd heard of quills that could correct spelling or make things sound better. But this didn't fit.
Can you show me?
Harry nodded and went to fetch his book, then set it up on his lap. He waved a hand to call over a quill and opened the book to a random page.
Hello, book,
Harry scribbled, his writing neater than it had been when Draco had last seen it.
Hello, Harry.
The words appeared on the page as though written by an invisible person. The flourish on the Y was the same as Harry's.
Like Draco, get not sick.
Draco, I hope you recover quickly.
Thank you, book,
Harry scribbled, and Draco stared at the book. He didn't think he'd ever heard of a book writing back to someone, and he felt almost a slight twinge of jealousy, which he knew was silly. The book was able to help Harry write, and that meant Draco had time to do his own studies, and Harry would be able to learn better.
Okay, so what the note actually says is, Draco, I wish you a quick recovery, Harry. Wish is like... wanting something. Quick is...
quick, fast, boom.
Quick is going fast, yes, Draco grinned at him. And recovery is a fancy way to say get better, okay?
Harry nodded, cuddling up to Draco.
Feel better? Better. Still a bit tired, but I'm okay.
Harry nodded and summoned Draco's book of fairy stories, opening it to the Fountain of Fair Fortune again. Draco yawned and settled in to read to him. Harry's notebook was very good at helping him practice writing, but it kept saying words that Harry didn't understand, so Draco got used to explaining them. He found he didn't always like the book, but it was good that Harry had something to do when Draco was studying.
"Remus?"
Draco asked one evening when Harry was playing with some colourful beads, and he was sitting reading. Remus sat on the sofa reading with Sirius sprawled in his lap, being a dog.
"You know those quills that help you write? How do those work?"
"They're enchanted with certain grammar rules, so they check the words you write against those. Quick quote quills are like that too, but they have more complicated rules. They can be charmed by a user to work in different ways and to take some things. For example, one might take the word sad and make it upset or close to tears or something. They're not very good, though."
"Can they think?" Draco asked, and Remus laughed a little and shook his head.
"They don't have a brain, Draco. They just match what is said to a big list of rules, that's all. It might look like they're thinking, but they can't answer questions or do more than that."
"Can books answer questions?" Draco asked. Or can you get different quills that can?"
"Not more than they are charmed to do. I know they're stories with magical items thinking, but they can't really think,"
Remus explained, and Draco frowned because he was pretty sure Harry's notebook could think. But he didn't want to upset Remus by arguing with him. Still, it didn't make sense. Remus knew lots about magical items, and he seemed so sure they couldn't think. But Draco couldn't imagine a set of rules that would explain Harry's notebook. He kept an eye on it after he had recovered. Autumn came, and they were allowed out under the cloak to step on the leaves. Harry liked how they crunched, how they felt under his feet. Sometimes the adults would leave copies of the Prophet around after they'd finished reading them. They'd leave them on the top shelf, but Harry could fetch them with a clap of his hands if Draco asked. That was how Draco found out that the Dark Lord was still out there, attacking people. It frightened him. Harry was writing in his notebook again while Draco was trying to read about shield spells. He didn't actually want to learn these yet. His next project was mastering Wingardium Leviosa. But he thought it would be good to know different types of shield spells to try and make sense of what Harry could do to keep them safe.
"Draco?"
Harry asked curiously, looking up at him.
"What this?"
He pointed at a page, and Draco walked over to see what the notebook was saying. Harry's messy writing was taking up most of the page.
"Want outside, but Draco and Sirius and Remus say no. Not safe."
"You can fight people, though. You can protect them," the writing below promised him.
Harry pointed at protect.
"Protect? It means keep safe."
"Thank you," Harry answered, leaning in for a quick cuddle.
"Can keep safe." "I know, Harry. But it's still not safe. The Dark Lord might find you."
Harry nodded and scribbled that down as well.
"Not safe. Dark Lord might hurt Draco."
Draco watched as the reply formed, the letter seeming to emerge out of the page itself, as though the paper was over an ink reservoir and slowly being sunk into it.
"The Dark Lord can help you. Remus and Sirius want to trap you, Harry. You need to be free."
Harry murmured the words to himself as he read them, and Draco could have screamed. He stared at the page, terrified. He reached out for it, grabbing it from Harry, and tried to tear it. It wouldn't rip.
"Draco! My book!"
Harry glared, snatching it back from Draco, and Draco whimpered at that because Harry never grabbed things for him. Harry looked between Draco and the book, clearly not sure what to do. He stared at the book. The page was blank now. But Draco knew what he had seen.
"Draco?" Harry asked curiously. "Scared?"
"Harry, keep safe."
"I know,"
Draco reassured, because he felt he had to do something.
"Sorry."
He wondered if he should talk to Remus or Sirius. But he knew Sirius already thought he was a coward, and that Remus wouldn't believe him. Remus had said books like this didn't exist.
"Sad, Draco?"
Harry asked, patting his arm clumsily, but affectionately.
"No, sad. It's safe. Draco mine." "I know, Harry,"
Draco managed an anxious smile. He was sure that Severus would have known what to do with the book, but he wasn't sure, and he didn't want to get Harry into trouble about it.
"Maybe I can help you practice writing, and you can show me this if you don't know the words."
He hoped that would at least give him a chance to think and come up with something to do. He got a piece of parchment from his trunk and tried to write down what he'd remembered with a date. He thought if he kept a list, then maybe there was a chance the adults might believe him. But he was frightened. He'd given Harry the notebook. What if they thought he'd wanted this? What if they were angry at him for it? He just didn't want Harry to do what the book told him to.
"Harry?
Draco?
I don't want to go back to the Dark Lord.
Please.
It's scary, and I don't want to go back."
He knew he sounded scared, but Harry nodded and looked at him with understanding.
"Draco's safe now. No go back."
"Thank you." That at least was something.
Do you want a new notebook?"
Harry shook his head, cuddling his notebook, and Draco didn't want to argue. He was afraid, but he needed Harry to stay liking him.
"Okay, will you let me see when you're writing there?"
He hoped that might give him the information he needed to try and make sure that things were safe. He didn't want Sirius or Remus to think he was weak, but the notebook didn't feel right. There was no proof, though, not if the notebook ate the messages. He'd need proof if he wanted the adults to believe him. Over the next few weeks, Draco kept careful records of what the book was saying. He wanted to understand what was happening so that he could work out how to fix it. He tried to hide the notebook, putting it under the door of the bedroom where they weren't allowed to go in, but it was on their pillow that evening. He didn't try to hide it again because he felt unsettled. He thought the notebook might be angry with him. Harry seemed quieter. He'd sit and write in the notebook sometimes, and Draco tried to look at what he was saying and try to understand. Normally the notebook was just quiet, helping Harry write, but sometimes it had its own messages to add. It didn't mention the Dark Lord often, but it did sometimes, and told Harry to go to him. Draco always said no, and Harry always said he'd keep Draco safe. But Draco wasn't sure anymore if Harry meant to keep him safe from the Dark Lord, or if he meant to keep him safe with the Dark Lord. One day, Draco woke up to see Harry gazing at him and smiling. He hissed happily to himself, which was strange. Harry normally spoke English now. He had the notebook cuddled to his chest and kept hissing excitedly.
"Harry?"
"Draco!" Harry answered before hissing more. Draco knew the adults were worried about Harry, even if they tried to stop Draco and Harry from knowing that. Something about being stuck inside being bad for him. Something about him regressing. Draco didn't understand, but he knew it wasn't right that Harry was hissing today.
"What is it, Harry? I can't speak past the tongue."
"Book!" Harry said excitedly, before closing his eyes. When he'd opened them, they were glowing gold the way they did when he had forced his way through Draco's occlumency wars, or did other powerful magic. Harry leaned forward so that Draco was breathing in Harry's breath, and the gold seemed to grow and swallow him. They were standing in a big corridor with stone steps. Everything seemed strange, ghostly. For a moment, Draco thought they were back in the manor, but it wasn't the manor, it was someone new. There was an older boy, handsome and in school robes, and they followed him down steps. Harry felt real. Harry's hand solid over his brand, but the rest of it wasn't. The boy sat down on the floor of a corridor, placing his hand on the stone, and he tilted his head the way Harry did when they had first met, like a snake. But the boy wasn't Harry. Didn't look like Harry. Draco could see the silvern crest on the boy's robes, and he knew that they were Hogwarts somehow. And then the boy began to hiss. Draco heard screaming before he realized he was the one that was screaming, because speaking past the tongue was a sign of being a dark wizard. There'd been no one in centuries who was powerful enough to speak past the tongue, only Harry and the Dark Lord. The boy he had seen wasn't Harry. The world seemed to fade away, and Remus was standing there with his arms around Draco, and Harry was shouting, and the furniture was all sideways. Sirius was in his dog form, stopping Harry from launching forwards to him.
"Draco!"
Remus's voice sounded a little shaky.
Are you all right? Was it a nightmare?"
Draco shook his head in answer to both questions. He stared at the notebook. He started to cry, holding his hands up for Harry. Harry rushed over and wrapped around him. Draco took a deep breath and another. If the Dark Lord could talk to Harry in his notebook, then they were in really, really big danger, and Harry could get hurt. Draco had to be brave to keep Harry safe from what would happen otherwise. He cried again, and Remus sat beside him, holding him, and Harry looked so worried that he knew he wouldn't want to hurt him. He took a deep breath.
No one do anything until I finish talking,
Draco managed to gasp, looking at the adults. When they both nodded, Harry cuddled up to him.
Harry's notebook is bad, and I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give him something bad or dangerous. I didn't know, but it is, and I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
He reached into the pocket of his bag, pulling out the list he carried around of things the notebook had said.
Harry's notebook talks to him, it's...
He spread out the messages.
I know you said it's not possible, but... It's been talking to him, and... It wants us to go back, I think. I think the notebook is the Dark Lord.
That's... Remus frowned as he read the messages. Draco, that's... Sirius leaned in and looked at him.
I believe you. Where did he get it?
It was in my trunk, Draco said softly. I thought it just set the ink so Harry could practice and get better at writing and you'd be happy, but...
Harry was patting his arm as he talked, looking at him in confusion.
Can you show us? Remus asked thoughtfully.
Harry, Draco asked quietly, can you get your book and tell it Sirius shouted at you?
Harry nodded, grabbed his quill on the notebook, and sat down beside Draco. He carefully wrote out his message.
Hello, book.
Hello, Harry, the book replied instantly. How are you today?
Sad. Sirius yell, Harry wrote, as best as he could, and Draco hated seeing how Harry wrote the Y.
Again the message rose from within the page itself.
That's because Sirius doesn't like you.
He wants to hurt you and Draco. The Dark Lord will protect you. Harry carefully read out the message, and Draco knew he was still crying. He looked up at the adults, wanting to know whether he was in trouble.
Harry, can you give us that book, please? Remus asked, using his gentle, calm voice.
My book,
Harry said stubbornly. Draco leaned his head on Harry's shoulder, resting his hand over Harry's.
Please, Harry. Give it to them. The book wants to hurt me.
Book keeps safe.
No.
Draco whimpered a little, trying to explain.
Sirius and Remus keep safe. Please, Harry. It's bad. It wants us to go back to the Dark Lord, and he'll hurt me.
No.
No hurt, Draco. Draco mine. Draco safe.
Harry relinquished his hold on the book, cuddling up to Draco instead.
Bad book.
It's a horcrux.
Sirius's voice cut through.
This is what Dumbledore said. One of them must have been with Draco's family and... it ended up in his trunk.
Sirius paled.
But horcruxes are dangerous. And they're hard to kill.
Draco didn't think kill was the right word for a book, but he didn't know what to say. Harry was just cuddling him, stroking his hair. Remus put the book on the floor and cast Incendio. The flames danced over the book without burning it. Sirius picked it up and tried to tear the pages. Even though the pages were paper, and Sirius was an adult, he couldn't tear them.
I tried to hide it, Draco whispered. It came back. And it showed Harry. Harry saw a memory, didn't you?
Harry nodded, looking at the adults, and for a moment his eyes glowed gold. Then he looked up and turned to Draco.
Book? Book make Draco sad? Book made Draco very sad. It's dangerous. It wants to hurt us. It's bad.
Draco tried to explain, wondering if they could lock the book away, or if it would keep coming back, appearing on the pillow every evening.
Book should go?
Harry asked, looking uncertainly up at everyone.
It's really dangerous, Harry, Sirius said softly. A really powerful piece of dark magic. It could hurt you and Draco.
No hurt, Draco,
Harry said angrily, frowning. He held out his hand to Sirius.
Book, please.
Sirius handed it over, and then Harry closed his eyes. The air around him seemed to swirl with magic more powerful than Draco had felt before. The adults looked concerned as the book hovered in the air. Suddenly Harry clapped his hands, and the fire animals he made came soaring from his fingertips. They pressed into the book and seemed to burn it. It slowly collapsed in on itself, the pages curling, and Draco thought he could hear it screaming beneath the crackling fire. It fell to the ground, little more than ash. Sirius and Remus stared at each other, and then Sirius morphed into a dog and licked Harry's face, while Remus hugged Draco. Remus was promising it was safe, and Draco knew he was crying, but Harry was cuddling him, and Harry had kept him safe. They didn't do much that day. They talked about what had happened, and Remus said they'd have to tell Molly. Draco said sorry a lot, but Harry was happy writing in a normal notebook, which didn't eat his ink and didn't write back. He sat near Draco writing, "Draco, safe," as many times as he wanted to. Draco counted it being written 58 times.
"This wasn't your fault, kid," Sirius said softly. "Horcruxes are dark magic. You didn't know about it. You should have told us, though."
I didn't want you to be upset at me or think I wanted Harry hurt.
"We know you don't want Harry hurt," Remus said firmly. "You and Harry care about each other.
If anything like that happens again, though, you have to talk to us straight away, promise?"
Draco nodded quickly.
"I promise."
He didn't want something like this to ever, ever happen again. But something did happen. That night, when they were alone in their bedroom, there was a sudden crack of a house elf apparating in. Draco was half stuck under Harry, so he couldn't sit up.
"Miss Sissy's boy,"
the house elf addressed him, bowing low.
"Creature,"
Draco said quietly. He knew that Creature was in the house, but they never saw him normally. Harry was watching quietly from the bed, his head lying on Draco's shoulder. After a moment, he closed his eyes.
"Creature needs your help," Creature said.
Draco nodded because he found Creature a bit scary, but he knew house elves were meant to serve their family. That meant that Creature was meant to do things for him. And he did do things, and anyway, Draco missed Dobby. He thought of how his father would hurt Dobby if Draco was bad when he was little, before Harry. And he thought of the fact the Dark Lord had apparently wanted to hurt him if Harry was bad, and he sniffled to himself. Harry cuddled closer, eyes snapping open.
"No, be sad."
"I'm okay," Draco said softly. "But this house elf needs our help." He looked at Creature.
"Do you need us to get Remus and Sirius?"
"Filthy traitor son and half-breed. Creature's mistress would be so angry. Terrible boys. Not like Master Regulus. Not like Miss Sissy's boy."
He shook his head.
"But the strange boy. He destroyed that book, yes?"
"He did,"
Draco answered, and the house elf nodded, wincing a little. Draco thought maybe he wanted to say something he wasn't allowed to. He bit his lip, trying to sound authoritative.
"I order you to tell us what you need."
The house elf seemed to collapse forwards immediately, dipping its hand into its filthy loincloth and pulling out a beautiful golden locket with emeralds set in the shape of an S.
"Creature needs this destroyed."
Draco reached out for it, taking it and then holding it out to Harry.
"Harry, can you destroy this, please?"
Harry nodded, turned it over, tried to open it, and then hissed himself. The locket fell open. There were eyes staring up from it, red eyes, and then a chain of smoke leaped from it. It made the ghostly shape of Draco himself, staring up at Harry from the dust.
"Hate you, Harry," Ghost Draco said. "Scared of you. Hate you."
Draco reached out and put his hand on Harry's arm.
"I don't hate you. Please get rid of it."
Harry put his hands on the locket, covering Ghost Draco, and there was a sound of glass breaking. The locket fell silent, and Harry whimpered.
"Draco! Red!"
Draco looked at Harry's hand and saw he had cut himself a little broken glass.
Creature, can you get Remus and Sirius, please?
Creature popped out of the room and returned a moment later with Remus and Sirius, who were both clearly asleep. Remus was wearing only pyjama trousers, and Sirius wasn't wearing anything, but he quickly assumed a dressing gown and glared at Creature.
What?
Harry cut himself. Creature, tell them what happened.
Draco ordered as Remus cast a pisky and healed the cut. Creature nodded, standing there, and he told them what had happened to Sirius's brother. Sirius cried, then got some pyjamas, and said some nice things to Creature. He said Creature could keep the broken locket, and Creature was nice to Sirius as well, and didn't call Remus a half-breed. The four of them slept curled up together, and they had Creature to help them now.
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flight and Flame, and read by Rebu Pie. Thank you for listening.